giving honor to God, who's the head of our house, thanking him for his many blessings and all he's done for us. And Blackstreet would like to share all he's given us with you.
Jesus is real. Yes, he is real to me. More precious than silver. More precious than diamond rings or anything that I could give him. It wouldn't be the thing. It's good to know the love inside of him. It guides me through. And it ain't good to know he's true.
It will all reveal in time. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. All you got to do is trust in him and never doubt. He'll always be there for you. He'll never let you down. And I believe in that, cause I'm a living witness to this, y'all. Cause without God, my life would be nothing. So if you believe in what I'm saying, I want y'all all to come on and repeat after me. I know the Lord is real. Yes, he's real, I know.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave his life, he sacrificed.
He gave his life, he sacrificed.
Just to save my soul.
Save my
Come
soul.
On, y'all. I know the Lord.
I know the Lord is real.
Yes, he's real.
Yes, he's real, I know.
He gave us all his blessings.
He gave us all his blessings.
It was 2,000 years ago.
2,000 years
now, come
ago.
On, y'all. Help me sing the song.
Amen. The Lord is real. Yes, he's real. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministry Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly. And we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so. and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path, okay? And today is Youth Weekend, and Youth Saturday, and on the 4th and 5th, or the 5th Saturday or Saturday of each month, we give the youth the opportunity to serve and to participate in our morning worship service. And guess what? We have this morning King Darius Freeman to help us do scripture and prayer. Good morning, Darius.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Let it rip.
Okay. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. My name is Darius Freeman, and I'll be opening up this worship and prayer Saturday morning. I'll be reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. I repeat, Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. The name of the title is Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity once again offer you so much deserve praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear and answer the prayers of the faith that are lifted up to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey and be blessed. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior in Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, King Darius. Have a great day. You know we appreciate you.
Okay, thank you. You too.
Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again. you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now.
Make me to be everything that you want me to be. You know, I can't get away from Romans chapter 8, where God says all things They work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, stop thinking about the things that happened to you as something that's horrible and have never happened to anybody else. We don't care how the world perceives things that happen. But we as Christians have been told by the Lord, just like he did for Joseph, he's going to do for us. He's going to make it all work together for our good. So that gives us a different way of looking at the situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in this life sometime. We know Jesus said you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, but there's something bigger than that. Amen. We want to get to that place where Jesus said, I always do those things that please my Father. Wherever the Father is, there is the Son also. The works of my hands, he is working through me. The words of my mouth, him speaking through me. In other words, brothers and sisters, we need to get to that place of true worship. The Lord said to us over in John chapter 4 that the Lord desires this kind of worship in spirit and in truth. That's why I love Blog Talk Radio so much, because ain't nobody in this room with me. Yes, my wife is in the house with me, but she's not in this room with me. I'm worshiping before the Lord alone. So I have to do it in spirit and truth. Corporate worship is good, but Jesus wants to see us worship him alone. Amen. And see what that kind of worship is like. Corporate worship is good when we come together in church. But the Lord loves those who worship him. He desires, the Father desires those to worship him in spirit and in truth. The day is coming when we will say, Lord, not my way, but your way.
Have your way. Have your way in me, yeah. Can I be transparent for the minute? Some of those rumors that you heard, I probably did it. I'm not a perfect man, I admit it. But it's covered by the blood I've been forgiven. When I think of things I've done, I shake my head. And it's only you that can set me free.
Amen. You know, today our young folks are really going through it. They're living in a time that, you know, most folks shudder when they read the Bible. This is definitely that time that Paul talked about to young Timothy, the pastor of the church at Ephesus, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses about 1 through 4. These are these last and terrible days. And these are the days that our children are coming up in. And I say our children because if we're in the family of God, they belong to us. We have a responsibility to them. Amen. We have a legacy to prepare for them to see how a Christian legacy. Yes, we can give them the secular education and we can do all of that. We can do the best we can raising them from 0 to 18 once they graduate and become kind of grown. Amen. But after that, the Lord says in his word that when your mother and father forsake you, then I will take you up. That means that you've done all you can to prepare them for life, for these days, for these times. And what's going to help them is some of the education is going to help them some to get a good job and make some money maybe. Okay, but what's really going to stand them up in the job and what's going to stand them up in this world that Satan runs is the word of God. Satan ain't afraid of a master's degree. Satan ain't afraid of a PhD. But he's scared to death of those who follow the Lord, those who stand on the rock, the word of God. He's scared to death of them. And so, parents, the best we can do for our young folks today is to give them the word of God. My mother and father made sure we got as much education as we could handle, okay, as much as we could get, they could get in us. But they made sure that we were connected to Jesus and knew something about them. And I said it before and I'll say it again. The best thing they ever gave me was a relationship with Jesus Christ.
G-I-G-I.
I'm letting go of all that's behind me. I'm moving on to what lies before me. I'm available, please.
Choice, smart enough to
Amen. Have to make that decision. Are you ready to go? You know, we live these funny Christian lives. We love going to church, Bible class, and all that good stuff, conferences and concerts and everything else. But, you know, we can go through a whole week and not tell nobody that Jesus died and rose on the third day for their salvation. A whole week and 7 days. I haven't told anybody that Jesus died and rose again. Amen. But that's all right. Amen, because if the Lord keep waking you up, that means you got another chance. He's the God of another chance. Thank God he ain't the God of a second chance, because y'all know we be needing more than two chances. Amen. Amen. A whole life of chances. But anyway, no matter what happens in this life, no matter where we are in Christ Jesus, even if we don't know, but we're in Christ, that's good. That's the best thing you could possibly do. And guess what? No matter what, you need to know this. You know, in Luke chapter 15, I ain't preaching. In Luke chapter 15, the Lord went out and found a sheep that strayed away. Sheep didn't even know the danger it was in out there all by itself without the shepherd. But the shepherd went and looked for the sheep. Put the 99, they was already safe, right? So he go off to look for this one that just strayed away. Put him on his shoulder. Don't even fuss at him. Didn't kick him around like, you know how you get your dog out there and got away, you'd be jerking him around. Jesus didn't do that. He put him on his shoulder and carried him back to safety. Then there was the one who was sitting right up in the house, somehow got separated from the rest of the coins and got lost. Well, you know Jesus, he just kept looking around, sweeping around, dusting around, because see, they had them dirt floors, so you know how stuff when they fall in the dirt. Anyway, he found it and put it back together and called everybody to rejoice. Then there was that one, you know, and this was me a lot of times, six times to be exact. Amen. Went off into the far country. Amen. What took your salvation and your inheritance, your saved life, and went off into the far country. It just went crazy. But, you know, because what was planted in us couldn't be taken out of us, amen, the way we was trained up, we couldn't depart from that. So we remembered, wow, when I was walking with Jesus, right, it wasn't like this. So we come to our senses like I did six times and go back to church. I ain't preaching. Amen. I guess I'm just trying to tell you, no matter what, Christian, relax. Jesus got you.
My God. There were times when I wanted to give up on you. Believed you were there, but I couldn't feel you. Then you stepped in, you came to see me through. You never left me. Even though I made my share of mistakes, I never paid the price that I should have paid. You never left me, nor did you forsake me. Lord, you never gave up on me. When I avoided your plan and I gave up and ran, you kept me. When I was sick in my quicksand, Lord, you threw out your hand, you kept me. When I trusted in man, didn't give you a chance, you kept me. Said I've been in church all of my life. I didn't learn your word, but how to disguise. I try to look good in other people's eyes. Because of your love, I'm running back to you. Because of your grace, I wanna say thank you. Lord, you're so faithful, and I'm so grateful that you never gave up on me.
Amen. Ain't that good news? He's a keeper. Amen. You can't keep yourself. You didn't save yourself. Jesus has been keeping you since you've been saved. Every time you walked away, guess what? He was right there next to you. He was already plotting and planning how to get you back where you're supposed to be. And guess what? He was going to use that stuff on your walk-off to help make you a better person. You became a walking testimony. Now you're telling the people, when I walked off, this is what I learned. You don't need to walk off. Of course, they ain't going to listen to you, but they're going to walk off with what you told them, and that's going to help get them back. Amen. So don't hesitate to tell them, even though they're finna walk off. Let them walk off, but make sure you tell them something before they walk off so when they come to their senses, they can walk back. Amen. Look, y'all, the Lord don't start really working to us, with us in our prayers when we say, Jesus, 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 I need you, Jesus, Jesus. He ain't gonna come show up and be helper Jesus until you let go. See, you're dealing with God. You ain't dealing with some human being. You're dealing with the Lord God, our Father. He knows when you let go. But if you ain't let go, then God going to go ahead and let you wallow in your mess for a little. I'm telling you, ask the prodigal son. The Lord will look right at you. That father did not leave his house. He looked out for his son to come back because he knew what he put in him, right? But he ain't leave his house. He waited till that boy came right back home, but that boy went to the pig. He went into the pig. Pig food started looking good. Y'all know we can go pretty low. I remember that picture, the color purple, when Oprah Winfrey said, I was feeling mighty low. We can go really low. Y'all know that? Before we come to our senses. But guess what? We come to our senses, and we go back home. But God ain't going to start until we what? Let go.
Let go.
Yes, let go, let God. Sister, you can't handle it. Let go, let God. Yes, Pastor, you have ministered to someone out there today. Let go, let God. As always, you took us there. We just thank you for those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us to time to talk to God. The only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
I know I can reach you when I call your name. Good morning, all Blog Talk Radio listeners all around the world. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, first of all, we thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to come to you with our prayer request, whether we need something or whether we don't need anything. You give us the opportunity to come to you with our prayer request, and you give us the opportunity to see you provide our needs, Father. We certainly say thank you, and we praise you for bringing us from last Saturday to this Saturday, Father. Father, some of your children out there, they need a physical healing right now. Father, give them the physical healing that they need in whatever area of their body they need a physical healing. Father, some of your children need a financial blessing right now, but the only way they can get that financial blessing is if they begin to handle their money according to your word. Father, some of your children need an emotional healing, but Father, the only way they will be able to experience that emotional healing that they need is if they begin to trust in you and you alone, because you said in your word in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, you said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus." Father, you said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." Father, you told us in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call on me in the time of need, and I will answer, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet." Father, you said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, you tell us, "Do not worry, for tomorrow has enough." Do not worry about tomorrow, for today has enough trouble of its own. Father, then you tell us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Father, the reason why many of your children don't receive the blessings that they need from you is because they don't live according to your word, Father. Father, I'm asking you to help us start living according to your word. Give us a nudge every once in a while and remind us to live according to your word. Remind us that we are more than conquerors. Remind us that we will have trials and tribulations in this life, but we should be of good cheer no matter what happens, because you have overcome the world. Father, you gave us you gave us a command in your word in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. You said, I have given you power to walk on snakes and scorpions, and I've also given you power to overcome every power of the enemy. You gave us a command in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. You told us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do anything I say? Father, help us just begin to follow your word. Help us to live like we are ambassadors for you. Help us to do the work that you've called us to do with a joyful attitude, Father, because like I said in one of my messages, our attitude has power. And Father, you don't like it when we walk around with a negative attitude about doing your work. So Father, I just ask that you help us be more like you. I just ask that you take our hearts and mold it. Take our minds, transform it. And take our wills and conform our will to your will. Because your will can't be done according to your word if our will isn't lined up with your will. Father, bless the preacher with the word that you give him today. Move him completely out of the way. Have your way in him. Use him in the way that you want to use him so that he could be a blessing to someone, and so that we can open our ears and hear what he has to say, what you have to say through him. Father, it is in your presence and holy name I pray this prayer. Amen and amen, and praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Terrence, for praying and making our request known to God. Amen. All right. Thank you, Terrence. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Let us keep our young people lifted up in prayer. Always our young folk, our youth, our children, all over this world. You know, they are our precious cargo. Okay? Always keep our youth in prayer. So far, we are having a great time this morning with more to come. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen. Okay. Time for the preach word. It's from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will have the pleasure of hearing following this song selection is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate coming his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
From the top of my head to my feet, pour your oil on me, let it fall down on me. I want your glory, want your glory, I want your glory, I want your glory.
Show our love in action. Pray, Lord, that you will help us to live for you. Continue to inspire and encourage us, Lord. We confess all our sins before you, and we ask for forgiveness of those sins, Lord. And we thank you for cleansing us from all unrighteousness. Open our eyes, Lord, and our hearts so that we can receive you today. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. My name is Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, and I will be coming from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and I will be reading from the New Living Translation. It says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. If you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness, and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Christ suffered physical pain for us. One of the worst and most torturous deaths, crucifixion. Very sick, very very painful. And it wasn't instant. It was a slow and torturous death. But Christ suffered that for you. And that's something that we need to understand, is that he went to the cross for us in our place. And I say that on a regular basis as a reminder, so that we don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, because we have, you know, shiny things and new cars and homes and money. Because a lot of times we put those things in front of us as gods, but we forget that we're nothing apart from him. We have all of our existence because of him. So it says you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. So again, brothers and sisters, if we are attached to Christ as followers of Christ, Christians, then we need to understand that there are going to be some things that we have to suffer through. There are going to be trials and tribulations, but just like Christ came all trials and tribulations, we will too, because of our connection with him, because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead residing right inside of us, we will overcome too, because we already have the victory over sin and over any and everything. But we have to understand that we have to go through, we're going to suffer through some things because Christ did so as well. But verse 2 says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. I'm starting to realize and understand some of the things that Pastor O and others who I consider mentors and elders have been saying over the years, that the closer you draw to Christ, the more and more you realize that you used to like to do that go totally against his word and his will and his way, you don't really care for as much anymore. You start to lose your taste for it. So you become more anxious and more willing and inspired and encouraged to do the will of God and not the will of John or the will of whoever, of yourself. And that's something that we need to practice and continue to practice. And honestly, the key is getting into the Word and learning more and more about the Lord and reflecting on His instruction and what He's telling you and showing you in His Word and in your life. And if you just take the time to isolate and look to Him, He will show you the things that you need to do and don't need to do. And then verse 3 goes on to say, you have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. These are, again, as you draw closer to the Lord, those things that you used to do, that you used to like, that work totally against you and totally against His will and word, you'll start to put those things down because it says you have had enough. For us to have had enough, that means we're fed up, we're tired, we're trying to move on to something different. And that something different should be the will of God, which we learn through His word and through a walk with Him as well. Amen. Verse 4 goes on to say, of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. There's going to be some resistance from friends that you partied and turned up with, you know, different relationships or situations that you found yourself in with folks. But please understand that true friends will recognize your growth. First and foremost, if someone is your true friend, they're willing to die for you. They're willing to lay down their lives like Jesus did for you. And that's word, the definition of a real friend. And that's what Jesus is to us. He's also our big brother, intercessor, and our Savior and our Redeemer, but He's our friend. He laid down His life for me and for you. So your real friends will understand, because if they're willing to lay their lives down for you, they understand the growth. They understand where you used to be and what you're going through now and where you're on your way to because of their connection with you. But even if they don't, please understand that sometimes, and I learned this from a good friend of mine, that sometimes isolation leads to elevation. And I know that for me, sometimes I do have to just hear from the Lord and just be quiet so that I can get what I need from the Lord as I continue to grow and continue to elevate. But understand, they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That is why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die, like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. Remember, it's the Lord's will that none should perish, but that everyone should have everlasting life, eternal connection with Him for all eternity. But we need to understand that the Lord is holy. The Lord is ready to judge. We all have to stand before Him and give an account for our lives. And if we really love Him, we should be doing what He says and what His word says and what He instructs us to do through the Holy Spirit and through His word. And I just thank the Lord so much for His word and the fact that He resides in me and says, hey, John, go left and not right, or go right and not left at the different times that I need to. I need to continue to draw closer to Him so that I know I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm locked in for eternity. But my life being an example for others who are not will speak volumes to the legacy that I leave. So I should be focused on everyone that I can in my area of influence to the Lord for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Verse 7 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other. for love covers a multitude of sins. That was one of the first times that jumped out at me in verse 7, where it says, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers because the end of the world is coming soon. And for us to continue to show deep love for each other. Two verses jumped out because I realized the urgency that the clock is ticking and that we should be earnest and disciplined in how we communicate with the Lord. Because that's what prayer is. It's communication with God. But we need to understand that if we sense that urgency, if we can just look around and see what's going on in this world, we know that the end of the world is coming soon. So we should be honest. We should be disciplined in how we kick it with the Lord. We should be transparent with him. We should just open up our eyes and our hearts to him and ask him to create in us a clean heart and to purify us on a regular basis, okay, with him. Because if we're locked in with him, if we can communicate with him in an honest, disciplined manner, then guess what, brothers and sisters? It'll be easier for us to love each other and to really, truly care about each other and to show that deep love for one another. Not that fake stuff, not that surface stuff, but to really genuinely care about your brothers and sisters. Because even the potential brothers and sisters, those who aren't saved but are on their way, we need to draw them in with how we live. We need to pull. And it's not physically. It's just spiritually for us to plant the seeds and to do our part. But the physical part is how we live. We're living for God. That's what this passage is all about, living for God. But you know, if you're not saved, you're not living for God. You're living for you. You're living for your family. You're living for the ruler of this world, Satan. He's your father, not God. But I want you to know that it's the Father's will that none should perish. He wants you to come on in and spend eternity with him. And what that looks like is simply asking the Lord into your heart and life. Now, the first part is you have to believe that Jesus died on the cross for all of your sins and rose from the dead to wash you clean from sin. That happened. You can study secular history and realize that Jesus walked the earth and that people saw him after he was crucified. So that happened. But if you believe that first part, you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the grave to pay for your sins, that's the first part. And then all you simply have to do is just say, you can repeat after me and invite the Lord in and say, Lord Jesus, I'm an admitted sinner. I believe that you died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for all of my sins. I invite you to come into my heart and life so that I can spend eternity with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you believed and you prayed that prayer, you're saved. All you have to do now is get into the Word and get into a good Bible-based church so you can continue to fellowship and learn more about what the Lord's Word says. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your Word. We thank you for mapping out the blueprint of your Word so that you can teach us how to live for you. And help us to realize it's all about you. We get the hookup because of our connection to you. But we should want to make sure others are connected to you as well, out of love, showing that deep love for one another. And help us to be earnest and disciplined in our prayers and to remember the price that was paid for us at Calvary. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a really great, perfect, on-time word. By today being Youth Saturday, you know, bringing a word that tells our young people that living for God is the most important thing is really essential. You know, when we look at the news and we see the things that are going on around us, it's like you know, carjackings and killings and, you know, all types of stuff. I just look at the ages of the people who are committing these crimes, and it's like the numbers are just going lower and lower and lower. When you're talking about a 13-year-old, you know, carjacking an Uber driver, you know, it's like the young people have no hope. It's like they have nothing to look forward to. It's like they have nothing to live for. And so we know that that's just not the case. And so all of us are in some form or fashion, you know, growing in the Word. And it's our responsibility to make sure that we are not only living the Word ourselves, but being an example to everybody around us, especially our young people, because we all know that kids do what they see and not what they're told to do. So we have to be the example and live out the Word of God in our lives so that the young people see how we live and how we choose to live for the Lord, and, you know, they will make those same decisions for themselves in their own lives. So that was a perfect word, Pastor Jonathan. Thank you so much for reminding all of us that we have to live for the Lord. Amen. So, hey, y'all, good morning. It's Saturday. It's the fourth Saturday of the month of July. And so, again, we welcome everybody to our Saturday morning worship service. We have had a wonderful time in the Lord today. Everything was popping. The music was popping. The reading was popping. Everything was popping. So it's been a great, great Saturday. So just a couple of announcements for you. Sunday, tomorrow, July 24th, we will have our in-person Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and in praise. We will have the preached word by our very own Pastor O. Of course, you are all welcome to join us in person. All we ask is that you wear a mask in the sanctuary. If you don't have one, one will be provided for you. If you're not comfortable with coming in, excuse me, in person, you're not ready yet, it's no problem. You can also listen to our service on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website, rfcm.org, and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Every Sunday, don't forget that at 4 p.m., our presiding person, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, is here on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. So don't forget to tune in and make sure to give her your support. Also on Tuesdays, Reverend Richard Overall is on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. with his training day. I mean, he is amazing. So good. He used to come on here on Saturdays, and the little bit of time that he had was just not enough for him to get it all out. So he has been doing his own hour on Tuesdays at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. It's been for quite some time now. So if you're not tuning in, please, please do. Also, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class here on Blog Talk Radio. I will be teaching from the book Song of Songs, the remaining chapters 5 through 8. The questions are available online on our church website, rfcm.org. So just click on Bible classes, the Bible classes tab when you go to our church website. Or if you're in person in church on Sunday, they will be on the back table available for you. If you would like to pay your tithes and give any offerings, rfcm.org, again, is the place to go. Just click on the tithes and offerings tab. If you would like to give a love offering for Pastor Jonathan Tate, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, he preached today. So if you would like to give a love offering for him, please go to our church website. Remember to specify his name, again, Pastor Jonathan Tate, and we will make sure that he receives his love offering. Amen. So the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with them. Amen. Amen. So Matthew chapter 5. Verses 13 through 16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world." Now, notice this. It says you are, not you will be. We working on it. We trying to get you there. You might be. You are the light of the world. Amen. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Blessings are not, as we know, always in the form of money or material things. Those things are great, amen, but they don't mean that you're necessarily blessed. A kind word, we know, goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness, amen. So take time out to be some sunshine. It's cloudy where I'm at. It's rainy where I'm at, but that's okay, because if you give somebody a warm smile, it can light up their day, be sunshine in their lives. So take some time out today to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So we always want to remember to pray for everyone, everywhere, all the time. To pray without ceasing, because prayers are needed on a constant basis. Amen. So we want to keep lifted up in prayer Tyrone Hamilton, all of our mothers on the move at Run for Christ Ministries. Continue to pray for Minister John McFall, who's in rehab. Also, don't forget to pray for all of our members at Run for Christ Ministries. Don't forget to pray for our president, of course. Excuse me, all of our leaders, our country, the list of prayers that need to be had go on and on and on and on. Amen. So just don't forget to continue to pray for one another. Pray for all those who are bereaved and grieving. It just seems like that list every day just keeps getting longer and longer and longer. So just make sure you're praying for those who are bereaved and who are grieving. Keep in prayer our own Deaconess Lisa Thornton, Anita Chambers, Loretta Welch, and all of their families, and again, so many other families that have lost their loved ones. Continue to please keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Amen? Amen. So on a happier note, it's July, and we got birthdays this week. Amen. So happy birthday to all of the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated their birthdays this past week or who are celebrating today. We finally got to the end of our birthday list. So everybody at Running for Christ Ministries that I know of has already had their birthdays for this month. Amen. So we just want to say, once again, happy birthday to Sarah, Hunter, Malachi, me, Logan, Deandra, Isaiah. I have a new baby that I have to add into the birthday list. So baby Gia, she has finally had her independence from the womb day. And so she came into this world on the 18th of this month. So baby Gia, we're so excited to have her, and she's healthy and she's beautiful. So we want to say happy birthday to her, of course. We want to make sure, you know, Vice President Beatrice Cowan had her birthday. Ryan Davis had his birthday. Nicole Seabrook and Lisa Thornton, she closed us out with her birthday on the 21st. So, again, happy, happy birthday. Love, hugs, kisses, kittens, sprinkles, all that stuff for everybody who celebrated their birthday. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional. So your devotional for today is entitled People Problems, okay? So now this is, again, Youth Saturday. And so we know that a lot of our youth, they got a lot of people problems, you know. And because it's Youth Saturday, we're just going to talk about the youth. We all know we all got people problems. But, you know, specifically for the youth, you know, they struggle because of social media and all of their interactions are on the internet. There's no conflict resolution skills. They don't know how to sit down with one another and talk to each other. They don't know how to talk things out. You know, they don't know how to not bully one another. It's just a disaster. So, you know, they use the internet to, you know, identify themselves and to find where they fit in with people. And, you know, so it's just a mess. So it's entitled People Problems, okay? And the verse is, what is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? And that's James chapter 4, verse 1. So do you find yourself at odds with people too much of the time? Is it tough getting along with your spouse or your kids or your parents or the people at work or school? Do you seem to be living in quarrels and conflicts? I think it was Charles Schulz who, through Charlie Brown, said it best. I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. Easy to say, you love everyone, but quite a different matter getting along with everyone. What do you do when you find yourself in conflict with family and friends, neighbors, and people at work? God tells us in the book of James what to do in order to get along with others and bring an end to relationship wars. So number one, humble yourself. God is opposed to the proud but gives grace to the humble. That's James chapter 4, verse 6. Pride and selfishness are key contributors to conflict in marriage, family, and other interpersonal relationships. When you must have your way and are unwilling to give in, compromise, or see the situation from the other person's point of view, you are in for lots of battles. Listen, God's grace, the desire, and the power to live a godly life will not flow in your life if you are walking in pride. But if you will humble yourself, he will exalt you and pour out his grace on you. Amen. So number two, yield to God. Submit, therefore, to God. James chapter 4, verse 7. God is God, and simply, you are just not. So get over it. Quit trying to run the show. Let him be Lord and boss of you. Never forget the slave-master relationship. You are the slave, and God is the master. You do not tell him what to do. He tells you. Learn to have as your life's verse, not my will, but thine be done. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Do you know how quickly, do you know how you can quickly tell if you have truly yielded to the Lord? There is peace in your heart when you are yielded. When the Prince of Peace is in charge, he brings peace to your life. Amen. So number three, wise up to the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James chapter 4, verse 7. The devil is always lurking in the shadows to stir up trouble. He plays on pride, especially wounded pride. If you are feeling misunderstood or mistreated, he will whisper, you don't have to take that. Fight back. Stand up for yourself. Let them have it with both barrels. He is the father of discord and disharmony. When you listen to him and obey his voice, you will have difficulty getting along with just about everyone. But if you are on alert for him and his ways, you can recognize his corrupting presence and resist him in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number four, seek to be forgiven. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It's James chapter 4, verse 8. When you blow it in relationships, you need to make things right. First of all, you need to confess your sin, pride, selfishness, and unresolved anger to God. Then you need to make amends with the other person. You know, this person says, but we're going to make this personal. I'm going to read it the way that he writes it, but we're going to take this internally. He says, I have found that it is much easier to seek forgiveness from God than it is to seek it from others. This step is critical, however. If you don't go to the person you have wronged and humbly apologize, you cannot be right with God. It is as simple as that. If you don't believe me, go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. So when it comes to relationships, most of us don't do what God says to do, and as a result, end up with a mess. As you soberly assess your strategy to handle conflict and relational difficulties, you know, those of us who have seen Dr. Phil before, he asks penetrating questions. How's that working for you? he will ask that all the time. So how's what you're doing working for you? So be honest with yourself. It doesn't work when you do it your way, does it? We know that it doesn't. Your way and my way cause us to forfeit the blessing and power of God, but his way is full of peace and full of power. So it is time for a change. It is time to do relationships his way. Try it and see, and I promise that you won't be disappointed. Amen. So for the youth out there, for those of us who are grown, we all got people problems, but we don't have to have people problems, because if we just follow the word and do what he says and do, you know, the things in the order of the way that the Lord tells us to do, we won't have nearly as many people problems as we think we have. Amen. So just be obedient. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate it. And I'm telling you, the whole service just was all knit together by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan preached and Terrence prayed and Darius read scripture and gave us the opening.
Yep.
Amen. King Darius. You can actually find him in
that's
the Bible.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
Yes, he is.
He was
there.
One of the good kings in the Babylonian Empire. Him and Daniel was big friends.
He is.
He was smart enough to say, hey, I'm going to be friends with them. These boys destroy us. Amen.
Okay, they tearing stuff up. Amen.
But we had a good service, good service. It all worked together for the good. And then that devotion just topped off with Jonathan preached, living for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that passage
Amen.
Was all about. And that's what this life is all about after we get saved. And that's what the songs were all about, is living for God. Amen. So
Absolutely.
It all worked out for the
Amen.
Good.
Always.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal.
Amen.
Tell
You're
Meerkat we say, hey. I know
hey,
you're enjoying
I sure
adult
will.
Life.
No, he ain't, because he at work. He at work.
Right, wait till September come when it's time to go back to school, and he don't. He'd be like, oh, so this is what y'all do all day?
This
is
what we do all day. Yep.
This is the fun part.
That's right.
He was like, I want to go back to school.
Y'all
I think I failed
back.
The last time. I want to go do a redo.
And then because he was on honor roll, he's been on honor roll forever, so ain't no going back on that
so
one.
He don't
have
no way out. He just got to go
no
forward.
No way out. Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Be blessed. All right.
You too.
Amen. We thank Pastor Jonathan Tate for that word and that reminder that we still have an obligation to live for God. When you hear these texts taken and these scriptures read, go on your own and read them. Be like the Bereans. I don't think Pastor Tate will get insulted if you go behind him and read those scriptures so the Holy Spirit one-on-one can open up to you, okay, some things that you maybe didn't get because of the time constraints here, but you have no time constraints. You can put as much time into it as you want to and get as much from it as God wants to give you. Amen. Well, I have a quick announcement that I want to make. The time is has actually come to pass. It's been a long time. You know, I've been finished with my second book for some time now, The Church That Jesus Built. And it is time. This book was written. I wrote the book because we're in good time. Okay, so I can talk a little bit. Amen. The book was written, it's funny how it came to be, but you all that Running for Christ heard the story. I was teaching Christian history, and it was taking about 2 years, and we weren't really moving and progressing fast enough. And so Carmen Abraham said to me, amen, that we needed to do things, in short, do things a different way. Amen. Do things one of, I just saw something needed to fix that. Okay, there we go. Now it's all fixed. Okay, it's funny how you see things like that. But anyway, that we needed to do this a different way because really the class, the way I was teaching it is the way I learned it when I went to school. It was a 4-year class, okay, but I didn't have 4 years to teach this class, and neither did these people want to sit there for 4 years trying to learn Christian history. And so with that statement she made, I came home and reiterated to the Lord what she said, and the Lord said that I understand what she said. Long story short, he explained it to me, and so that's how the book began. That's how The Church That Jesus Christ Built began from AD 30 to our present day. It is about Christian history, but it is a way to learn it in about 15 weeks instead of 4 years. What we'll do is pick up the highlights from AD 30, from when Jesus left here and the church was born, until today, to our very day. That way we have a basic understanding of how the Word of God came from AD 30 to 2022. Okay? So that class, church history, will begin on Monday, September 12th. It'll be a one-hour class from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. I'm going to be the teacher, and it'll be a 15-week class. The textbook will be the church that Jesus Christ built, the one that I wrote by Pastor O. Okay, you can get your book one of three ways. You can visit my website at www.pastorgmo.com. Number two, you can pick it up at the church office at 3409 West Jefferson in Ecorse, Michigan. But call for an appointment before you come because I'm not there all the time. Or you can get it at our church. Just see my wife, Sister O. Amen. Again, all of this will be on our church website under Bible classes. So you can get this information I'm giving to you now. You don't even have to try to write it down. Just visit rfcm.org, click on Bible classes, and you'll see church history. Okay, click that on, and all this information I just gave you will be there. Again, the class is going to start on September 12th, and we'll be strict to 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., 1 hour, because y'all are busy people. And this book was written for busy people who don't have a whole lot of time because they got a whole life. Okay, and so this is going to be on top of that. So it'll be on Mondays for 15 weeks, okay, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., okay? It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio, okay? It's going to be on Blog Talk Radio because that is a medium that best suited for this class. Trying to get people to come out to church every Monday is probably not going to work. But on Blog Talk Radio, Runner for Christ is not the only audience that the Lord is after, even though Blog Talk Radio was created for Runner for Christ, for our members. You know, I was talking before this, before the service started with the Lord, or he was talking to me, about Blog Talk Radio, and he keeps me grounded. Rather than me trying to look for millions of people to listen, what he reminds me is he only wanted to reach Runner for Christ ministry members who were busy and worked and couldn't make it out to Bible class or church, so he created this for them. So if it's 7, 10, or 15 of them, then that works for me. But to date, God has blessed us to reach out and touch over 131,000 people all over the world, and it just continues to grow. I mean, South Korea is growing. So, you know, but my focus is Running for Christ ministry. So it will be on the Blog Talk Radio platform. And if you miss the class because you work Monday and you can't make it from 7 to 6, don't worry about it. You'll be able to go to pastorgmo.com, and every class will be posted on my website. Okay, pastorgmo.com, every class will be posted there so you can look. It'll be 6 to 7 p.m. every Monday. Amen. God bless you and God keep you. So we hope you attend the class, amen, and learn Christian history, because I'm not trying to insult anybody, but if you don't know what happened from A.D. 30 until today, then that much of Jesus, 2,022 years are missing out your relationship with Jesus. You don't know what Jesus did after, what the church did after Jesus left here to this very day. And so there's a whole lot about Jesus that you don't know. For instance, where did the Bible come from? How did it become 66 books instead of just a collection of writings of the apostles? Why do we dress up when we go to church or not? Why can't women preach when they used to pastor most of the churches called house churches? There's so many things that we don't know because it's not in the Bible. It happened after the Bible closed. So God wants Christian history to be taught so we can see the Lord come through history right up until the day we were born and right up until the day we got our rebirth. He wants us to know that. That big old giant chunk of God is not in our life, just Bible. So we need more than that. Amen. Not more than that to be saved, but more knowledge of God and him coming through history. Amen? Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And don't forget, it's all about your destiny.
This is not a time to get distracted. And this is not a time to go off course. This is not a time to lose your focus. Got a word for you for the Lord. And you cannot afford to lose your way. You come too far from where you start.
Everything you've ever dreamed, everything you prayed for, everything he promised.